I want to tell you about a new investigative podcast called She Has a Name. It's about a young mother who disappeared in Detroit in the summer of 1987. She Has a Name tells the story of loss and redemption, mending broken family ties, and facing the trauma experienced by countless individuals who've lost loved ones to violence. Join host Tanya Mosley and her nephew Antonio as they unravel the secrets of what happened to Anita Wiley. You can search for She Has a Name in your podcast app.
This nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear.
Created equal.
From WDET in Detroit, this is Created Equal. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm in the studio with Carey Jr. II. He is the show's producer.
How you doing, Stephen?
Good. I'm getting ready to go up to Mackinac.
Ready for some fudge?
I'm not a fudge eater. I'm more taffy, but yeah, the fudge is there.
Do you have anything against fudge?
I don't love it. It's too sweet.
Okay.
It's too rich. How many Mackinacs do you think this is for me?
Ooh, 45. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that to you.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Probably somewhere around, 2014? I'm going to say 10 to 13.
It's 18.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's actually a lot more than I thought.
It's a lot.
And is 18 straight?
It's 18 straight.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You've got to be.
I think that's right. I came back in 07.
Okay.
And that was the first one.
All right.
So every year since.
Is this an event you look forward to each year now? Is it one that you are just like, this is part of the routine?
It's something that I've done each year. Mm-hmm. It's something that I feel good about doing most mm-hmm. years. I've just become used to doing it. It's mm-hmm. part of the work. Some years I love it. Some years I'm just tired.
Right. Now, this year, because programming is different,
yes.
Mackinac will be different.
Yes.
We'll get a little bit of a break. I was going to say, does that help a little bit?
It does. No, okay. I'm actually more excited to have Nick Austin, mm-hmm. who is a host of The Metro, Russ McNamara, who hosts All Things Considered here on WDET, and Shayna Roth, who is one of the co-hosts of the Mishmash mm-hmm. podcast. They're all going to pitch in and host some of the time that we are doing interviews up on the island. So
yeah.
I won't be back-to-back from, you know, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m.,
ooh.
You know, day after day.
Well, that's brutal.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I want to know, let's describe for our audience kind of what the Mackinac Policy Conference is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a once-a-year trip by business leaders, politicians, philanthropy, mm-hmm. the press, and then an awful lot and an increasing number, really, of ordinary people who all go up north together to stay on an island where we can't get away from each other.
Right.
To talk about the problems that we have in this state and try to come up with solutions that we wouldn't if we were back home. We're going to start by having a conversation with Sandy Barua, who is the CEO of the Detroit Chamber, the person who is responsible for the Mackinac Policy Conference, works with a big team of people to make sure it comes together each year and that it's interesting. Sandy Barua, it's time for Mackinac again. Welcome to Created Equal.
Delighted to be on the new show, and congratulations, Steve.
Yes, thank you very much. Remind me, what Mackinac is this for you? What number?
14.
14. Can you believe it? My goodness. I think this is my 18th. It might be my 17th. I can't remember.
We're catching up.
Yeah. No, it's been a long time. let's start with you talking about this year's conference. The theme, and I guess your hope for the things that you think we might accomplish up on the island.
Well, our theme, established by our conference chair this year, Suzanne Shank, who's just been terrific, is Bridging the Future Together. And I think it is a fabulous theme because, you know, as a group that represents business interests and businesses, mm-hmm. it is very hard for businesses and the employees that are employed by businesses to thrive and to grow if society doesn't have you know, a common set of facts. If society doesn't have a common level of understanding, and if society doesn't have a level of civility with each other and other institutions, that allows us to make forward progress. And then, you know, we have seen over the years the era of misinformation, the era of polarization and tribalism grow to the extent that it is now becoming a business issue.
So talk about how that comes together around bridging, you know, bridging together this idea of the theme up there.
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do at the conference is hang a lantern on, if you will, excuse the phrase, this era of misinformation, and really be open about some of the very basic things that, frankly, are standing in the way of Michigan's future because of this misinformation. So, for example, the value and the cost of higher education. You know, there are so many stories, if you kind of listen to the popular press, of, you know, people with four-year degrees working coffee counters, or stories of people with hundreds upon thousands of dollars in student debt. And no doubt those stories are true, but they're such an anomaly. In reality, you know, half of the students that graduate from Wayne State, right down the street from us, graduate with zero debt. And the ones that do graduate with debt graduate with less than $25,000 in debt. And when you compare that in our latest polling, it just shows that people think that, you know, students are graduating with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, or it costs $100,000 a year to go to one of our very good state universities. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah. So what kinds of sessions up north do you think are going to bring this most into focus this week?
Well, when we talk about, you know, the perceptions and busting some myths, you know, we can kind of do a roundabout of the agenda. So let's take former Speaker Paul Ryan. You know, obviously the vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket with Mitt Romney. You know, Speaker Ryan's agenda has always been, you know, the budget. And we can disagree about, you know, how to spend budget dollars. But what's really hard to disagree with is that the United States's budget situation is not a good one. And, so, having Speaker Ryan there to talk, you know, frankly, truth to power, or, you know, slap us in the face in terms of reality about budget, I think that that's a great example. NBC News's Chuck Todd, you know, talk about someone who lives and understands, you know, the political polarization, but what, you know, in terms of understanding that, you know, some of the basic things that bind us together as Americans are actually much greater than these, some of these seemingly petty political differences. So, you know, what I'm really anxious to hear from Chuck Todd is, one, is he optimistic or not optimistic about, you know, American society going forward? And lastly, just a real quick one, you know, Suzanne Clark, you know, who runs the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Obviously, you know, a woman in a high-powered position, you know, want to talk to her about you know, that experience, but also about, you know, what are these threats that are occurring to capitalism? And someone who, you know, is a capitalist, you know, I firmly believe, as does Suzanne Clark, that capitalism has been, you know, one of the most productive forces on the planet in terms of bringing people out of poverty, in terms of creating innovation. You know, so reality checks like that are what I'm hoping the theme of the conference will be.
So I want to take a minute, and I ask you this every year, to talk about how the conference has changed since you came to Detroit and became the head of the chamber. I'm not sure how many people would even remember what it was like before, because it has been some time, but it was a really different conference with a kind of a different framing often. From your chair after 14 years, what's the difference in the value, I guess, of Mackinac, and the difference in outcomes?
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully we've done several things, and I am really proud of what the team has pulled together over these 14 years. But number one, you know, we have worked very hard to make it welcoming. And, you know, and that has taken multiple, multiple things. One, we've lifted the veil off of the conference. It used to be this, you know, oh, it's a boondoggle. No one knows what really goes on up there. But especially with our extensive partnership with media, you know, obviously you're a big part of that, mm-hmm. our extensive partnership with Detroit PBS, every session that we have the capability of is streamed live. And, you know, we've got, frankly, the anchor desk with Zoe Clark, right in the middle of the hotel lobby, mm-hmm. Streaming live what's happening. So it's not this, kind of private thing. It's now very, very public and welcoming in terms of, you know, one, we've made it statewide, but it's not just for business leaders. Right. I mean, we want civic and community leaders there. And the fact that we have literally 100 working journalists from all types of media outlets, not just from across the state, but frankly, across the nation, you know, adding their lens to what's being discussed. So it's, to put it in common parlance, it's not an event for old white dudes.
Right? It certainly doesn't feel the way it did before. You often talk about the things that we get done on Mackinac, the things that actually happen and come together. There are some big ones on the list, the Gordie Howe Bridge, which is now, I think, feet away from being connected across the Detroit River. I remember that deal coming together up north, the grand bargain that allowed Detroit to exit the bankruptcy without the really awful blows to pensioners and to city assets that were on the table. That happened up north. Can you tell when something big is gonna happen at Mackinac, or is it just something that just kind of comes together? I mean, I guess I'm trying to get at whether you feel like there's something this year that we might solve or at mm-hmm. least, try to resolve while we're there.
Yeah, and I would add the auto insurance reform.
That's right.
To that list as well, too. And I, of course, do want to acknowledge that, there's many people who think that there's still work to do on that particular issue. So this year, Stephen, I'm hoping what happens is something around Michigan, or at least Southeast Michigan's innovation ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the governor's Grow Michigan Together Population Council, which I had the pleasure of serving on, along with the just the growing interest and understanding what other states are doing to formalize innovation and entrepreneurship, attracting entrepreneurs to Michigan. Mm. Giving them the resources to stay here, making sure that we're walking and chewing gum. In other words, we're attracting the high-flying technology entrepreneurs, but we're also being very welcoming and very inclusive about how we think about entrepreneurship and innovation. It's not just, a bunch of, 20-year-olds from the Bay Area with pocket protectors, right? I mean, it entrepreneurs and innovators, look like America itself, and we want to make sure that Michigan's entrepreneurs and innovators look like that as well.
Yeah.
But I know we're going to be working with Santa Ono and the University of Michigan. We know there's some other, people talking about things, so we're really hoping that some of the announcements that we hope to be a part of up there will lead to a more formalized, at least pathway to determining how is Michigan going to really put some state resources, corporate resources, philanthropic resources to get organized and successful around innovation and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, yeah. This is somewhat related, but I want to ask you about it. You recently wrote an op-ed in the Detroit News that that proposed an approach, I guess, for our sense of how people should be educated in Michigan, and you're calling it 12 plus 2. In other words, you go to school, grade, middle and high school for 12 years, and then you spend at least 2 years learning something else, learning a trade, learning a skill. That's kind of the minimum amount of time that you need to get some kind of certification beyond that. I want you to talk about why that is key, but also how that relates to this culture of entrepreneurship that you're trying to get us to cultivate more.
Yeah, and thank you so much for bringing that up, because I and the Chamber team are very passionate about this issue around post-secondary education. So after World War II, Stephen, that you know so well, American society made the decision that we are going to move from a seventh grade education standard to a 12th grade mm-hmm. education standard. Mm-hmm. And why did we do that after World War II? Because, we woke up, after the war in the industrial age as the world's remaining superpower. And we said, golly, the world's become a lot more complex. Our citizens need a lot more education in order to succeed in this world. We made that decision when we were the only superpower on the planet coming out of World War II. Mm. Fast forward, 80 some odd years, right? We're still at that 12th grade standard. And to us and to me, that makes zero sense considering how much more complex the world is, but how much greater our competition is. I mean, think of the EU, Europe today, versus what it was after World War II. Mm-hmm. Think about the economic powerhouse that is Asia, and you can put China into its own category, right? I mean, it is just a completely different world, no pun intended. And so we do believe that even when we fix our K-12 system, and that that's kind of a hygiene factor, we have to fix K-12 in Michigan. We are a losing team and a losing league when it comes to public education in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But regardless, even after we fix that, we need to set the ethos, the standard, whatever you want to call it, that everybody needs at least 2 years of formalized training.
Yeah,
as you said, it could be a training program to get a certification. 2 years, for an associate's degree, or your first 2 years of a four-year university, and we need to make that tuition-free. Cost should not be an option, cost should not be a detriment mm-hmm. to any Michigander going to that extra 2 years.
Yeah, and getting people that kind of educational lift seems to me does put them in a better position to be part of the culture of entrepreneurship. In other words, you need some basic skills. You need some yeah. basic expertise to be able to know what business you want to start or know how to operate a business and be successful at it.
Exactly right. And again, when you look at where entrepreneurs are thriving and who entrepreneurs are, mm-hmm. when you look at innovators, when you look at entire regions or states that are doing better, what's the common element? And it's educational achievement. Mm-hmm. It's those that have more education. And that doesn't mean that there aren't brilliant people just with high school degrees out there who have accomplished amazing things, right? There's no doubt about that. But those people are going to be the exception. God bless those people. That's fantastic. But most of us mere mortals, right, require that extra formalized training.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Sandy Barua, the CEO of the Detroit Chamber, ahead of the Mackinac Policy Conference. We're going to talk a little politics when we come back. Stay where you are. We'll be right back with more Created Equal.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
Okay, we're back with more Created Equal. I've got Sandy Barua here with us. He is the CEO of the Detroit Chamber, and we are getting ready for the Mackinac Policy Conference, the time once a year that business leaders, politicians, members of the philanthropic community, and the press all go up north to try to talk about Michigan's challenges and opportunities in a different setting, in a setting where almost none of us can really get away from each other, in order to see if maybe we can come up with solutions that we don't when we're back home. Sandy, I do want to talk about politics. Politics has become a huge part of the Mackinac Policy Conference, and we've become accustomed in election years, where we have a big statewide election, to having a conversation about it up north. We're not going to really get to do that on stage this time, because the planned debate between Senate hopefuls to replace outgoing Senator Debbie Stabenow, they didn't play too nice in the plans. Tell me what happened.
It's the first time, at least certainly in my 14 years in this role, but apparently ever, that any candidate has turned down the Detroit Regional Chamber's invitation to debate up at the Mackinac Policy Conference.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, we are seeing the change in political dynamics where, you know, debates are getting fewer and farther between, harder to schedule, candidates less willing to do them, candidates setting more and more conditions under what conditions they will debate. So obviously for us, this is, you know, this was a kind of a monumental moment for us, for the very first time, candidates saying, we're going to pass on the chamber's opportunity they're providing us. So very disappointing.
What were the objections that they raised? Was it format? Was it little things like placement on stage? I mean, as you point out, we've done this for a long time on Mackinac, and everyone's always participated. What was different about this one?
Well, I wish I knew. So, you know, we had two candidates on the Republican side, former Representatives Rogers and Amash, that basically just said, you know, no, thank you. I didn't have direct conversation with the candidates and nor their staff people. Our team, our government affairs team, took care of all of that. So there might have been an excuse about, oh, I've got a fundraiser, or I've got, you know, I got to do my hair that day, or whatever it was, right? But they just kind of said no.
Yeah.
Representative Slotkin had originally said yes, but I think. You know, she was unhappy with the fact that, that there was only going to be one Republican on stage, and that would have been Sandy Pensler.
Mm-hmm.
And so she bowed out after kind of knowing what the field was. So that's kind of – that was their stated reasons.
Yeah.
That's all really I can speak to.
Yeah. So what does that tell you as – the person who, you know, leads the chamber in our region, about the difficulty we have getting stuff done, getting problems solved? If they can't agree, on a debate, it's really hard to imagine how they work together to make Michigan a better place.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't a more prestigious or bipartisan or high profile convening in Michigan, and the fact that, you know, three candidates, you know, the three of the six leading candidates for a very rare open Senate seat,
right,
passed, you know, tells me that, you know, the political dynamics that I was talking about at the top of our time together, in terms of the tribalism and, you know, the polarization, to me, this tells me that candidates continue to increase their placation of their political base.
Yeah.
That they are just not, you know, they're less interested. Certainly when I was active in politics in the 80s, 90s, and into the 2000s, about appealing to the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a little bit of an aside, but not really, given that this has happened for the first time in anyone's real memory. You know, I've been saying for some time that this process of, you know, making sure that candidates debate and debate in front of, the voters who are going to be making decisions shouldn't be up to the candidates or the campaigns, that there is a better way to do this. And I made a valiant effort about a decade ago to try to put together, a debate commission similar to what we have had at the national level, although this year I'm not sure that's even going to work. But then there's some other states that have done it as well. Indiana, which is, you know, mm-hmm. one of our neighbors, has had a pretty successful run with something like this. And we couldn't get that together in the media to figure out our differences enough to make that happen. But it seems a more urgent need at this point, given the things that you're talking about, and given the fact that candidates can absent themselves from something like the chamber debate, at least as they see it, without consequence, right? They can say they're not going to do it, and they won't be punished at the polls for it. I mean, we've reached, I think, a place where there's too much of the say here that rests with the campaigns.
Yeah, and you know, this raises the importance of the effort that the Detroit Economic Club and Oakland University and a few others are trying to spearhead mm-hmm. to create a Michigan Debate Commission.
Yeah.
And we're going to be fully supportive of that work. We were waiting to finish our debate first before we jumped on that to make sure that our debate was that we weren't we weren't making them guilt by association and vice versa.
Right.
But we're going to be full-heartedly supportive of that because if all the voters are able to see our TikTok ads and sound bites, they're not really getting the real background on these candidates that are literally, in this case, filling one of the most important jobs in the country.
Sure.
And again, this goes back to a point that, well, frankly, you and I have talked a lot about, Stephen, which is this continuing effort just to play to the political base.
Right.
And it's really now campaigns are more about driving out the turnout in your base as opposed to pivoting to the middle and trying to get persuadable voters. Very little effort these days is spent on persuadable voters. When I was, campaign staff for a U.S. senator, and even, I've worked on four presidential campaigns, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Even though you start with the primary, the end goal is, how are we going to position ourselves for the general? How, let's make sure we're not doing anything, in March, that's really going to hurt us in August.
Yeah. Yeah. Still in all, there will be a pretty formidable political presence on the island this year. Talk about who else will be there and I guess what we can expect to see them doing.
Well, so representing President Biden will be Secretary Raimondo, who mm-hmm. serves as the Secretary of Commerce. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to interact with her. Hugely, hugely impressive. We're going to have Senator Stabenow on stage, Senator Peters on stage, Representative Lisa McClain, and this will be her first time on our stage.
Right.
So I'm very much looking forward to actually spending some time with her. I have not spent any time with her. And Tim Walberg, one of our other state U.S. representatives, will be joining us as well, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been on our stage before, so.
And of course, the governor will be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the governor will give her annual keynote. She'll also help me kick off the conference. Mayor Duggan always has a very well attended keynote address. That'll mm-hmm. be Wednesday, late afternoon. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, Speaker Paul Ryan Former Speaker Paul Ryan will join us. He'll actually be joined by former U.S. Representative Harold Ford, who has some strong Michigan ties and also has become a fixture at our conference. And so we're delighted about that.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, politics play a bigger role in the conference now than they used to, as we were talking about earlier. Has that been overall a positive development? Is that a good change, or is it too much? And is it because of this weirdness with the Senate debate? Is it an interference in some ways in the business of what you're trying to do?
So, Stephen, we very carefully manage the political aspect of the conference.
Right.
So, you know, let's start with the fact that it's a policy conference, right?
Yes.
So you have to have elected leaders, government officials there interacting with top corporate and business leaders, right? That's the whole point. The whole point is, as a business organization, we are trying to influence and learn about at least statewide and national public policy. So you have to have that element there. We carefully manage it in terms of, like, we've always turned down the opportunity to bring a presidential candidate to the island.
Right, right.
And the reason why we have done that is that a presidential candidate, regardless if it's in the primary cycle or if it's an incumbent, you know, getting ready to run for reelection, like it would be, well, kind of this year with both candidates, Trump and Biden, you know, all we're going to get is a Trump speech, is a stump speech, right? You know, we're not going to get something really tailored to Michigan, because they're going to be playing to that national audience that would come and cover that. That is not of value. If we're going to get the same speech that our audience could watch on, you know, Fox News or CNN, that's not of value. It just creates a spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you want them there, but talking specifically about the things that we're thinking about here in Michigan and interacting with people from the other communities about solving the problems differently.
Exactly. So, you know, as we, you know, prepare Secretary Raimondo for her time on stage, you know, we've asked, you know, we want to talk about vehicle electrification. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about the CHIPS Act. We want to talk about the things that really matter to Michiganders and Michigan businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sandy Barua, CEO of the Detroit Chamber. Of course, it's always great to talk to you and always great to have this conversation before we go up to Mackinac. I need you to settle a dispute here in the studios at WDET. Our producer on Created Equal, Kerry Jr. II, thinks fudge is better than taffy up north. I have been trying to educate him about the error of his ways. What do you think?
Is taffy even in the same conversation as fudge?
Oh, really? Sandy, you're not helping me out here. Do you like the fudge better?
I mean, it's a little bit like apples and kumquats. I mean, here's what I would say. Taffy is great if you're out of fudge.
Oh, wow. My goodness, I did not expect that answer. I wouldn't have asked the question if I thought that's what you were going to say. Taffy's way better.
I thought it was
going
to be a bourbon question.
Yeah, well, we don't have to wonder about bourbon. I think that's something that both of us quite like. And, of course, the island is another chance to celebrate that as well with the bourbon party on Thursday night. All right, Sandy, I will see you up north. Thanks for being here with us on Created Equal.
Thanks for the opportunity, Stephen. See you soon.
We'll be right back with more Created Equal after a break. We're going to talk with Nick Austin, Shayna Roth, and Russ McNamara, who will be joining me doing interviews on Mackinac Island. We're back with more Created Equal. We want to talk now with some of the other WDET hosts who will be up north conducting interviews of the attendees at the Mackinac Policy Conference. We've got Shayna Roth with us. She is a co-host of the Mishmash podcast that you hear here on WDET. Nick Austin is a co-host of The Metro, which airs from 11 to noon on WDET weekdays. And Russ McNamara is the WDET host for All Things Considered. Okay, Russ, Nick, Shayna, are you packed?
No.
You pack appropriately? No.
I appreciate the reminder now because I know what I'm doing right after this talk.
I'm going to tell you something that's absolutely true. I think six of the years I've been up there, I've had to buy clothing to adapt to the weather, right? On Mackinac, I've got to go to one of the little shops up there and pay hundreds of dollars, of course, for a jacket because it's too cold and I didn't pack for it. So.
That explains the I love fudge sweatshirt you wear sometimes.
All the time, like every Wednesday.
We got to get your $100 worth out of that thing.
That's right. All right, so we are getting ready for the Mackinac Policy Conference, something we do every year up north on Mackinac Island. It's a way to bring all kinds of people together who don't always see each other in person in order to talk about our state's problems in a way that, I don't know, maybe yields some different ideas or different solutions. I'm just going to go around the horn here and ask each of you what you're excited about. What do you see that's on the agenda or that you hear is happening that you are just really jazzed up for? Shayna, I'm going to start with you.
Well, for Mishmash, we have some interviews scheduled with some really exciting people, including Attorney General Dana Nessel. I always enjoy talking to her and hearing about the latest coming out of her office. We'll also be talking with Speaker of the House. We'll be talking with Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist. And, I mean, that's in general what I always look forward to at Mackinac, which is the idea that there are all of these people that you normally will spend months and months trying to get like 5 minutes with. They're just wandering around.
Right. And just grab them.
It's my first time going, but I'm really excited for the opportunity to just like, you know, in line to get some coffee, just start tapping people on the shoulder and being like, hello, you have nowhere to go. That's you can either have your caffeine and talk to me or you can go without your caffeine.
Just sit here, put these headphones on.
It'll exactly. Take
you 5 minutes. It won't hurt at all. Russ, what are you looking forward to?
I just want to see what the dynamic is with everybody. Last year, it was my first Mackinac, but everybody was super relaxed, very open and forthcoming. Of course, now we're in a presidential election year. There's a huge Senate race going on. And I don't know if, you know, the rhetoric will kind of amp up or people will just maintain their state of relaxness, I guess. Will they still be as chill as they were last year? And that's kind of one of the themes, but
I was going to say, Russ, you're not really playing along with the theme, which is like bridging together or something like that. Right?
I know. And I don't know. It seems like that could be a theme every year, though. There's been a lot of that. I mean, heck, 4 years ago, that's what Joe Biden ran on. So here we are again trying to bridge that divide.
Yeah. Nick?
Well, last year was the power of and. This year, like you mentioned, Stephen, bridging the future together. So this togetherness thing seems to be an important thing that's going on here. I think of the policy conference, as Shayna already mentioned, the ability to speak to all of these people from different parts of Michigan, different divides on the political spectrum to get together. And we have things we're trying to do here in Michigan. So one of the things I'm looking forward to, solving the Michigan housing crisis, right? Something we talk about. Mm-hmm. What are the action steps to do it? Again, growing our economy. We had the Growing Michigan Together Council. Now's an opportunity 1 year after it's been put together. It was announced last year at the conference. Let's take some steps to see where have we gone? What action steps are we moving forward with? So these are the types of things I'm going to be looking forward to getting into.
Yeah. So the city of Detroit always takes somewhat of center stage up on Mackinac, at least for a bit. And I'm really interested, I think, in what the discussion will be like around the recent news that for the first time since 1957, the city's population appears at least to be growing. The census officially says that the population is growing. There's been a lot of debate about how important that is, who deserves credit, who deserves blame. I just think the fact that it's happening, the idea that for the first time, you know, in most of our lives, certainly in mine, that the city's growing instead of shrinking.
I certainly know who's going to try to take credit for it.
I know who has been trying to take credit for it. And in fact, I'm actually having a conversation with him on stage this week, and I imagine he will want to direct the conversation in that way.
And you, Nick, mentioned, you know, trying to solve the affordable housing crisis. That was Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan's big thing last year. Yes. Was, you know, this land value tax, and it went absolutely nowhere in the year since.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a hard time getting it through the legislature because of a lack of the ability to get the Detroit delegation on board, is what the word is. That and other cities who also want to have that ability as well. So, you know, one of the things I will be talking to the mayor about is how much affordable housing we have been able to build, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, but why we still have this huge gap, right? It's affordable from a certain point of view.
Yeah, right.
And that's not necessarily the point of view of the pocketbooks of the people who need it the most. Shayna, what do you make of the conference themes this year?
You know, because it's my first time going to mm-hmm. the island, mm-hmm. I hadn't really paid much attention to the themes in previous years. And in general, I have a hard time with understanding how realistic any of these themes are. I mean, like the big one is always, you know, we're building bridges together. Well, you guys can't even get a debate, a bipartisan debate together.
Now you had to go there, Shayna.
I have to, because it's really
disappointing. I was going there. You just got there before I did.
You know, I got to jump into that, because that was really disappointing. I was really looking forward to seeing this bipartisan show of all of the people that are running for U.S. Senate, a very crucial, critical seat this upcoming election.
Absolutely.
You know, having both sides up there together saying what their platform is, what they believe in, asking them questions. And for that to not be happening at this event that's supposed to be this big show of bipartisanship is really disappointing. And I think it says a lot about where we are at with the divides among the political parties.
So just to catch our listeners up, there was a scheduled debate among all of the Senate candidates, Democratic and Republican, before the primary was going to take place at what they call the PAC reception up on Mackinac. This is the Chamber of Commerce PAC that hosts an event on the last night of Mackinac every year. And it's not going to happen because Mike Rogers, who's the leading candidate on the Republican side, and Alyssa Slotkin, who is the leading candidate on the Democratic side, both said they didn't want to do it. So if you don't have them, I guess Hill Harper, Pensler, some of these other folks, just they don't rate.
No, and it's a shame, because it would have been a good early glimpse. I mean, the first presidential debate is at the end of June. And so a good, quick, early look.
We think.
And as it stands right now,
I'll give you $5 if that debate actually happens.
I will take that bet.
All right.
Nick, you always want to take that bet.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking to you.
But you really wonder what these candidates have to offer other than, you know, some heated rhetoric on both sides. You know, Mike Rogers is not an unknown quantity. Alyssa Slotkin has been around and on her way up in Michigan politics for quite
a while. Yeah.
So this would be the next natural step. And could they keep it civil on stage, especially when you're confronted with other candidates in your own party?
So the thing that I can remember the most that would be similar to this is in 2010. Okay, I'm dating myself a little in terms of how long I've been going to this conference. We had a similar debate with all the gubernatorial candidates, right? And that's, before the primary. So you had like 7 or 8 people on stage. Rick Snyder, Mike Cox was a candidate. Andy Dillon was still a candidate, I think. I mean, it was a lot. And it was a mess. I mean, it was a disaster. the way that they just were kind of picking at each other, the way that they would not answer questions and kind of just talk about whatever they wanted to talk about. I mean, it was kind of an embarrassing moment. I got a call, in fact, from one of the candidates at like 4 in the morning the next day, really upset about their performance in it, because what everyone was talking about was like how bad this whole thing was. So, I mean, I think if you're Slotkin, if you're Rogers, maybe you're looking at it and saying, why do I need to be part of something like that? And it's not necessarily about bipartisanship. It's just about, I don't know, I've got a lot of money. I've got a lead. Why put it at risk?
And debates are always kind of pointless to an extent anyway. I mean, as much as I wanted
Shayna.
To see this.
Well, I guess that's why it's not happening, Shayna.
Well, and I say this as somebody who was really looking forward to it. I mean, there are usually something to be gained or to be gleaned as an audience from debates. But I mean, at the end of the day, you have people up there who, as you mentioned, you know, they're not answering questions directly. You know, they're cutting each other off. They're putting each other down. And it's really hard to actually get a true sense of any individual platform. You know, if you were required to actually answer the questions that are presented to you, debates would be great. But, you know, I do think there is still some level of value in them. But I do agree that these two candidates, Slotkin and Rogers, probably saw this and went, you know what, this is a risk I don't need to take right now.
Yeah. Pretty safe to say Shayna's not going to be a debate moderator anytime soon.
I will not. Because I would just be yelling at them the whole time and telling them, you need to answer the question before I move on. And it would just be me doing that the whole hour.
I think what we should say is that we would moderate these debates if they agreed to strap the candidates down to chairs and have bright lights shined in their eyes if they don't answer the question. That way, there's a little coercion involved.
Well, and you'd also need like in-time fact-checking to some extent for a lot of candidates. That's the other problem that you run into is, you know, you give somebody an open mic and a lot of them nowadays feel that they can spout whatever they want to and whatever things that may or may not even be true.
When I look through the menu of lawmakers that are talking at the conference, I'm struck by the fact that there's not a lot of inclusion of Republican lawmakers, except for at the end of the conference when you get the state and House minority and majority leaders, which is disappointing. I mean, business interests will be there, but is this a case of Republicans abdicating their ability to make an influence?
Shayna, what do you read from Lansing about, you know, legislative participation in the conference, which goes up and down every year? I mean, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. But the idea of the balance between Democrats and Republicans in terms of focus on Mackinac.
I think we're definitely going to see a lot more Democrats than we are Republicans, just sort of in glazing through the list of participants and sort of looking at who's involved in what different panels. It seems to be very Democratic heavy. I think that the policy conference, depending on who's in power in any given year, is who you're going to see the most of up on the island. And I think particularly this year, given that it's an election year, given that you have such strong divides between Republicans and Democrats, I feel like a lot of Republicans are going to be like, you know what, it's not worth my time to go up there this year.
And that could very much change for next year, depending on how the House ends up in November.
Sure, sure. All right, we got about 2 minutes left. Fun. Who's going to have fun? What are you going to have fun doing?
I'm going to be up there all weekend beforehand. That's where all my family is.
Nice.
So that is going to be fun. And then it was nice getting to see all of the folks I love in journalism. Sit around. I don't normally get to sit around and have a beer with Jonathan Osting.
Yeah.
Or, in a whole. And the whole Gongwer crew. Those guys are all great.
Yeah. Nick?
Last year, I tried to get Governor Whitmer to laugh when I had like a 15-second window to crack a joke and failed miserably.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to be workshopping material to see when I get my inevitable 20 seconds of conversation time to see if I can get her to crack.
Get her to laugh?
Yeah.
Shayna?
I haven't been to Mackinac Island since grade school, so I am in general just really excited to see what this island has to offer that I know people are constantly raving about. So, you know, I'm going to get some fudge, get some taffy, and wander around. I'm excited.
Taffy, way better than fudge. just my two cents.
It's saltwater taffy, though. I mean, it seems weird to be in a freshwater lake and have saltwater
right.
taffy.
Why is it saltwater? That's right. That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. We're all headed up to the Mackinac Island for the Mackinac Policy Conference, and we're all going to be broadcasting from the dining room of the Grand Hotel both days of the conference. So I'll see you guys up north.
See you there, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen.
Bye.
Just want to say, Stephen, I think fudge better than taffy.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
no.
so wrong about that.
No. Well, okay.
Fudge is so rich and sweet. You can only have like two bites of it.
Yeah, I don't really care about the conference and all that stuff. I just want to know, are you going to bring me some taffy since you got all that much to say
I'll
about
bring
it?
Taffy and fudge. And
oh, then we can do like a whole taste test.
You can see which one you can stomach more.
All right, you're really sitting into this. It didn't work out for you with Sandy.
Right. Sandy sandbagged me.
It didn't work out for you.
And said that he likes fudge more. I don't understand where that came from.
That's really the question that needs to be answered by the end of the week.
Taffy or fudge?
Taffy or fudge.
I can answer it now. I don't need any test.
We should
I know
put it to a poll
better.
On the Twitter feed.
You can do that.
I'll talk to Dave Kim about that.
The taffy's way better. That'll do it for us on Created Equal. Be sure to listen to our recent episodes at WDET.org, and we would love if you would subscribe to our podcast, where you can leave us a rating or a review. Created Equal is produced by Carrie Jr. II and David Lines. Our audio editing is done by Connor Anderson, and the music is by Sam Bobian. Created Equal is a production of WDET, a listener-supported service of Wayne State University.